Well, please welcome back to the 700 Club our dear friend George Foreman. And George, praise God, it's good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
I mean, I remember you when I was about 10 years old and you were in the 68 Olympics. And when you took that little flag and started waving it, I'm telling you, it was just chills came down my spine. It was just
19-year-old boy I was.
It was just, you know, it was just a moment.
Yeah.
How did you grow up? I mean, you know, we see you today, so successful. But,
oh, rough. Started off number five of seven kids, and I was the most hungry of seven kids. one working mother to take care of all those kids, so it was hungry, and you're trying to be father and mother. I wasn't successful. I became a juvenile delinquent, running from the police, of course, until I found a program called the Job Corps. That's where I got my start. And then I took up boxing, of course, electronic assembly, and a basic education. I got a general education diploma because I was a high school dropout. That changed life for me.
Who got you involved in boxing?
That was a trainer, Doc Brodus, of course. I taken a challenge. I heard Cassius Clay, then he was called, fighting on Floyd Patterson. All the kids in the rec hall in the Job Corps Center said, "You're a bully. Why don't you be a boxer?" I said, "Okay, I'll show you." And I met Doc Brodus in California at a Parks Job Corps Center. He said, "Look, George, if you stop fighting in the streets, stay out of trouble. You can be an Olympic gold medalist." I thought he was just teasing because I didn't know what the Olympics were.
Was he a Christian?
You know, I can't remember too much about it. All I know is he was he had been a sergeant in the armed forces, and he really made me believe in myself.
I mean, that's like prophesying over you. You're gonna be a gold medalist, and you were.
And later on, we met, and then we started talking religion, Doc Brodus and I. Then I made certain he was. Don't know what he was then, but he's got it now.
All right. Well, your career. I mean, you had your ups and you had your downs, but something happened to you after your second big loss. You lost to Jimmy Young.
Yeah, and that, when you asked about Doc Brodus being having any knowledge of God, I certainly didn't. My mother grew up always saying, "Oh Lord," and always needing something. I figured I'm going to become rich one day, so I'll never have to hear that again. "Oh Lord," it was something you heard from poor people. I didn't believe in religion at all. I knew there had to be a God somewhere, but not religion. After the Jimmy Young fight, I went to my dressing room to cool off like you normally do. I'd lost a 12-round decision. I wasn't hurting, nor was he. And I was cooling off, walking back and forward, heard a voice say, "You know, you, George Foreman, you don't have to worry about boxing. You can go home and retire, go to your ranch and retire and die." I said, "Die? I don't have anything. I got too much to live for." And I started fighting death for the first time in my life. And I heard a voice say, "Well, you believe in God. Why are you scared to die?" And I was scared. I was about to die. Who want to die? I'd spent years getting my body right. And I tried to make a deal because I knew this wasn't anyone in the room. I said, "I'm still George Foreman. I can box and give money to charity and to fight for cancer." The voice answered me back from within, "I don't want your money. I want you." Then I knew there wasn't in the room. No one turned down money. I fought for my life and lost. The next thing you know, I was out. I told everybody, "Look, I'm fixing it." Before I could say die, I was in a deep dog, nothing. Over my head, under my feet, nothing. Just a dump yard of every sad thought I'd ever had in my life. And I saw everything I'd worked for, my money, wealth, just crumble like ashes behind me. And I got mad. And I knew, I said, "I don't care if this is death. I still believe there's a God." When I said that, I was rescued out of this place. I was in a dressing room, and my doctor was standing behind me. I said, "Dr. West, move your hand. The thorns on his head are making him bleed." Everybody looked at me funny. I saw blood coming down my forehead. I told my masseur, who traveled with me, "Move your hand. He's bleeding where they crucified him." They looked at me, and I started screaming and haven't stopped since. Jesus Christ is coming alive in me.
Wow.
And, of course, they took me to intensive care. I can remember being strapped down in a little stretcher and taken to the hospital. My life has never been the same.
What were you experiencing? I mean, you're yelling out.
I just didn't believe in Jesus.
Jesus Christ is coming alive in me, and you're feeling a crown of thorns.
I saw it. I saw the blood coming down my face. And I don't know why I said, "Move your hands, Dr. West," who I travel with me to look after me, because the thorns on his head are making him bleed. This is the way I said it. I had no experience. I didn't believe in these kind of things. I really didn't. I heard about, you know, guys and having going to religion, but I figured if I caught somebody, especially if I'm going to box, who believed in religion, I'd knock them out pretty easy. They must be weak. If they had a Bible, you know. I saw boxers with Bibles. I said, I'm going to get this one.
Really?
I just didn't believe in these things. But I left out of there not only believing, but knowing that Jesus Christ was alive. I mean, my life has not been the same since.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's just, you know, I love these stories. I love how Jesus
personally
appears to people.
I try to put it out of my mind because I had a career. I just signed a network contract to do commentary and to do commercials. I had it all made, and I was getting ready to be top boxer again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be in religion, but it just overwhelmed me.
I imagine in the boxing world, it's difficult to be a Christian. That you're not really surrounded by that. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of women. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of rough men. And how do you be a Christian?
See, I'd made fun of things like that. We'd walk in and make jokes about religious people. And I was a hit one, you know. Then I had to go back and face my friend and say, "You in religion?" That kind of thing. I didn't want to do that, only because I'd made jokes out of it.
Was there a pride thing as well? I mean, were you embarrassed?
I was embarrassed. I mean, no doubt about it. It's something you make fun of and talk about in the way I did. I just wouldn't be able to come out. So I hid for a long time. It was Dr. Shuler. I called him once and said, "Look, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I had this experience, and the way I just explained it to you," I said, "I'm not kidding." I'd met him once before playing religion.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "George, I believe you." And he invited me to speak to his congregation. Wow. And I did. I said, "Now that's my piece. I'm going back to doing what I'm doing."
I did my thing for God.
Yeah. But little did I know it would take greater hold on me than anything I've ever had in my life.
You had a pretty amazing walk, sort of after this incredible experience, just to go through, well, how do I announce it to the world? And then you really had to deal with forgiveness.
Yes, it's rough because knowing there's a living God and that he would even appear and let me know that he was alive, it just broke my heart. I had a second chance to live. I remember the most sad thing that happened to me. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to my mother. I was about to die. If I had children, didn't say goodbye. That hurt me more than even losing my wealth. I was given a second chance. I went home and stayed with my mom. She thought I was crazy. Hugged her, hugged my kids. Then asked forgiveness to all the people I'd done wrong. I called old girlfriends. They thought, "This boy has blown it. I'm just sorry. Hey, what kind of trick is he up to?" Because I was a trickster, too. In boxing, you got to have some tricks up your sleeve. And asking forgiveness. And to this day, I try to find people and they come back to my mind. I try to remind them that life has changed for me. And for a lot, they accept my apology.
You had people that did things against you, too.
Yeah.
You had people that stole things from you.
Yeah, I had a lot of wealth in the beginning. I had money put up and there would be friends who were supposed to be managers of money, steal money out of the bank. I don't know how they would do that. I heard you telling the news about banking, and guys would steal money, and then they saw me, and I'd hug, grab them, and give them this bear hug, and tell them I love them.
How did you come to that? How could you, we want to hold on to these grudges. We think we're justified in holding on to these things. How did you find it to forgive them, and not just forgive them, but to go hug them?
I mean, I saw how fragile life was. I mean, here I was at the most physically fit that a human being could be, and my life was just wiped out in a split second. And I realized if I had to do all over again, you see it all happen to you, I would have said, "I'm sorry, I love you." And I try to remember all the good that my enemies supposedly had. Sometimes I just a flashback to when I first met them, how they would laugh or how they had little jokes or they'd take me to little places and buy me a pastrami sandwich. And I'd embrace those fine memories, and that's what made me hug them.
You have an amazing outlook on life, too. I mean, I've watched your career. I've sort of grown up watching your career, and you were one tough fighter. And you when you walked in the ring, you had an attitude.
I did.
And to see you on the other side of this with just joy, what's the key to that? How do you get that?
Well, I found out the greatest invention of all time was human beings. I used to think dog was man's best friend. Dog is a good pup. I have lots of dogs and I love them. But a human being is something special, God's greatest creation. Mm-hmm. And to show your love and appreciation for them is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. That's all I do. When I look at them, I say, "There's nothing better than you." There's nothing, no invention. We got all these gadgets and people fall in love and you put them down. But human beings, you can love them even in death. You still love them. from the grave that the love just still springs up to you. And that's what I do.
One of the things that really struck me in your book, and by the way, it's a great book, you know, God in My Corner, your spiritual memoir. One of the things that really struck me is that you sort of dismissed the money you've made. And you said, that's not really riches. The rich things I have in my life are people.
The people. Oh, and even the memory of people I don't even have anymore, to go back and find a friend that I forgot to be nice to, and then see them, and they don't expect to see me, and give them a hug. All the money in the world cannot replace that. Oh, I had a wonderful mom who's passed on now. Those were the beautiful days of my life. If you ask me now, which is more important, $5 million or sitting in the house with all my sisters and brothers waiting for something to eat? That was real true value there.
You're a pastor now.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. I mean, where's your church?
And that was the reason for doing this last book, God in My Corner, because so many people said, George, you one tough blankety blank blank. And I said, really? Thank you. You really whipped me on. They said, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. What? Excuse me for the language. But the point of it, for over 30 years now, I've been a minister and evangelist at the Church of Lord Jesus Christ in Houston, Texas. I'm really an evangelist, though. I travel all over the world. That's my work. I love that. Sundays, you'll hear me preaching. I even try to sing. Can you believe it?
You want to try right now?
No. Some of my congregation, like, as soon as I turn around, I see them like, who's going to tell me? Stop it.
I got to come to Houston, come to the church. I want to hear you preach.
I love the idea of telling people about the good things that have happened in my life by way of God and meeting Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, I can tell you're the real deal. I can see in your eyes. Your eyes are just shining. Anyway, if you want more, God in My Corner, George Foreman, highly recommend this. I mean, the insights he gives you, particularly on the issue of forgiveness, I think every Christian needs to read this, that you know, you gotta give those things over to God and forgive. Thank you for being
here. Thank you so much.
God bless you.